This is from the Gospel of Mark. It is chapter 12. We begin a reading in verse 28. And we're going to 34. It's very familiar, and you'll recognize it right away. A teacher of the law was there who heard the discussion. He saw that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer. So he came to him with a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus replied, the most important one is this. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two. The teacher of the law said to Jesus, well done, teacher. It is true, as you say, that only the Lord is God, and that there is no other God but He. And you must love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. It is more important to obey these two commandments than to offer on the altar animals and other sacrifices to God. Jesus noticed how wise his answer was, and so he told him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After this, nobody dared to ask Jesus any more questions. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, guide us in these next moments in this great and awesome commandment that you give us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, before we get into this, how are you doing from your assignment last Sunday? I had asked you that every day, first thing in the morning, that you would begin to recognize the presence of God in your life. And so I ask you, how did you do this week? Were you looking for Him when you woke up in the morning? Did you find him, and did you hang around with him? Oh, I pray you did. If you still need more practice, go ahead and do it again this week. There's another thing before I talk about this a little bit, is recognize that this is not an option, what we talk about today. This is not an invitation from God. This is I would really like you to do this. This is God's command. The great writer C.S. Lewis once said this, on the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for Him. And it's absolutely true. I'll be the first one to tell you that I would much rather talk about how much God loves us and loves me than really have to admit what a sinner I am and have to talk about how much I love God in return. It's easier the other way around. But listen to this, what Psalm 103, 8 through 12 says. Because if you're worried about this love thing, listen to this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Transgressions is a long Old Testament word for sins. So then, how should we respond to this all-encompassing love of God for us? You see, God is waiting and he's hopeful and he's desiring our response to him in this love equation. This God that loves us so much, he loves us in spite of our shortcomings. This is a God who forgives sins and he gives second chances to people. Well, we get a little bit of clue of how we should respond from this man that came to Jesus this day. He was called a scribe. He was a teacher. In his ministry, Jesus was challenged frequently by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. They were all trying to find something that they could trick him with, to accuse him of, so that they could kill him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they had started out with the Ten Commandments, the Ten Rules. And then they expanded on them over time to try to explain them, and they created 613 laws. And if you kept all 613 of these laws, you were okay with Yahweh. They didn't call him God because they thought the word God was way too holy for a human mouth to speak. And so they called him Yahweh, and they said, you know, if you folks would just keep these 613 rules, because they're all about the Ten Commandments, and you keep every one of them, you'll be absolutely okay with God. But guess what? Nobody's able to keep 613 rules. You'd spend all your day in a book reading the rules. Can I do this? Can I do that? We just can't keep them. We're human beings. And God knows that. But on this day, one of the scribes had come to Jesus. He came to him with a very sincere question. He wasn't trying to trick him at all. He just wanted to know. He had been there in the temple that day listening. And the answers that Jesus had to all of the questions that others were asking made perfect sense. And so this man knew he could come to Jesus and give him his question, and he would get a straight answer, an authoritative answer. I just for a moment, I want you to think about the Jewish leaders, because as Christians, we sometimes badmouth them, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. Not all of them were after Jesus. Some of them really learned who he was. But one of the things I want you to notice, because you have read the book, is that whenever any one of them, whether they were trying to trick Jesus or not, came to him in sincerity, Jesus would always talk to them. He would always give them an answer. And it's a lesson for you and me. Jesus will always talk to us. He will always give us the answer as long as we come to him with our questions straightforward. Not taking our questions and then sugarcoating them so that the answer has to be what we want. This man wanted to know which of the commandments. Remember, there's 613 rules that come out of the Ten Commandments. Now, which one of those is the most important? And one of the reasons that he was asking might have been the fact that that was what the men did in town. When they had some spare moments, they hung around the synagogue, and they would discuss which of the 613 rules, if you broke them, was worse than the others. By the way, we're still doing that today, just with the Ten Commandments. You know, some of these must be worse than others. Guess what? They're not. They're all 10 equally rules for you and I. But the men of town would sit around and they would discuss, is it more troublesome, more against the rules to steal your neighbor's goat than it is to work on the Sabbath? So the man comes and he says, what's the most important? I want to know so that I can go and talk to the guys. I want to know because I want to know. And Jesus replies this. We just read it. This is verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And these words are the beginning of a Jewish prayer. It's called the Shema. And a devout Jew says the Shema twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. The Lord our God is one. And what Jesus was saying was that the laws and their relevance one to the other mattered very little. The really important thing was to love God, to have a relationship with God. How do you remember the really important things in your life? Sometimes my life gets a little crazy, and then I have some things to remember, and I'm not that fast at getting them into my phone, so that's where I keep my memory, by the way. It's in my phone. And so sometimes I'll quickly write a note down on a small piece of paper, and then I put that piece of paper in my front pants pocket. And then that way I know at least at the end of the day, when I clean out my pants pocket, I'll find the note. So I might be a little later, but I won't totally forget to do what you've asked me to do. Barbara, by the way, has learned, don't start the laundry without checking Don's pockets. But there's one thing that I don't need a note for. It's something that the Holy Spirit has burned upon my heart. It's the guiding principle of my life. The most important thing in my life is my relationship with God. And you need to be there too. I struggled with this as I wrote it down for the message today because I wanted this to be yours also. This idea that the most important thing in your life is a relationship with God. And I realized I can't talk for you. So I can only tell you what I think needs to be most important. If you leave today with nothing else from this message, you need to know the most important thing in your life has to be your relationship with God. And Jesus tells us how intense this relationship needs to be in our lives in verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You cannot hold back anything from God of your own life. Not even a little smidgen. You got to give it all to Him. You have to give all your love in total. And then completely commit to the Holy God. And don't worry about running out of love. You see, God doesn't work in the same way that you and I work. We think if we give all our love away, we have nothing left. And God doesn't work that way. God is love. He will pour love into you faster than you can give it away. And so besides loving Him with everything you have, guess what? He'll pour more love into you and you'll have love for your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You'll have love for your mom and dad. You'll have love for your sister and brothers. You'll have love for doing what you're doing in your workplace. You'll have love for doing what you do as recreation. You will even have love to love the people you don't like. The ones that you might want to label as unlovable, God has love to pour into you to help you to love them. No one can outlove God. But wouldn't it be fun to run parallel with God and love people the way He does? And see the look on their faces as they realize that somebody cares, that God cares. Jesus has taught us that love for God involves every aspect of our being. So let me ask you, does God have all of you this morning? Does God have your heart completely? Is God the focus of your affections? Is your love for God warm and real? Do you take pleasure in the fact that God is ultimately worth everything? Does God have your soul? Are you willing to give God your life itself? Does your worship genuinely reflect this inner desire and inner intention to love Him? Do you love God with your total being? How about your mind? Have you given God your mind? Does your commitment fully involve all of your thinking, all of your intellectual capabilities? Is your faith fully informed, or is it just based on blind trust? Is your mind trained to think about God's moral perfection? And have you given all your strength to God? Do you strive to love and serve God energetically? If you wanted to see that in action, you should have been here yesterday for Fall Fest. And people energetically serving God. Have you devoted your strength, your physical and material capabilities to God? Can you sustain this intense love for God even when you doubt? Because you and I as human beings, we doubt sometimes. Does God really love us? Does God really forgive our sins? If that happens to you, recognize it as being totally normal and then move on. Because the doubts aren't true. Can you sustain this love for God even in our doubts? And then I want you to see something else in this passage. You see, often when we go to Jesus and we ask Him for an answer to a specific question, and the scribe did that day, he got the answer that he wanted, and then he got a little bit more. We serve a God of the little bit more. He will give us everything we need. It says that in the 23rd Psalm. And then He gives us a little bit more. So the fellow that day got another answer, didn't he? And the answer, this was the second most important commandment. It was a bonus, and it was going to be real hard for this guy to live through. This man was Jewish, and he was taught to hate some people, not love everybody. And Jesus said, the second most important commandment is you go ahead and love everybody, your neighbor, all of them. We live in a culture where we're taught that we need to get ahead of everybody else, that we need to be the most important, and it does not matter who we walk over to get there. As a matter of fact, in our culture, not only is it described as okay, it is expected that we would do that. And there's a theological term for that thinking. Hogwash. God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus has a better way. Jesus will give you the capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. John Wesley, the Anglican priest who started the Methodist movement, taught over and over and over again about loving your neighbor. He did it in his theology. He did it in so many practical ways. And he was one person who could answer this question rightly. Who is your neighbor? He would tell you it's everyone. Not just the ones you like, but everyone. And the symbol of the cross is the perfect example of this whole relationship. There's a vertical piece. And it reminds us of our vertical relationship with God. And then there's a horizontal piece. And it reminds us of our relationship with our neighbors. And you know what? They're not two separate pieces. The cross is all one. You cannot have an effective and complete relationship vertical with the Holy God if you do not have an effective relationship with your neighbor. And if you struggle with the neighbor part, trust me, I do too sometimes. Just remember, we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who not only gives us the strength, but the ability to do it. The scribe who came with the question for Jesus that day didn't go home disappointed. I can imagine he was quite joyful when he left because he knew he had the answer. The man understood that the laws of love for God and love for neighbor were much more important than bringing a burnt offering into the temple, was much more important than bringing a sacrifice. He understood it was not the rituals of the temple, the rituals of the church that drew him closer to God. It was loving God and being willing to obey God with his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength. And that would draw him close to God. And Jesus was very pleased with the man's answer. This guy figured it out himself. Go back and read those scriptures. And Jesus was pleased with him, and he said, you know what? You're very, very close to the kingdom of God. Well, the man didn't realize it, I don't think, at that moment, but he was standing next to the kingdom of God. He really was close. But now, in Jesus' love for him and in Jesus' teaching for him, the man would have to make one more step. It would make him unpopular. The scripture doesn't tell us if he did it, but he would have to have faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah, Son of God, to completely know the answers to this question of how do you love God and you love your neighbor with everything you have. My brothers and sisters, love created you. Love has guided you. Love has called you into a relationship with God, and love has made a way for your sins to be forgiven. And we are not just asked, we are commanded to love by the one who loves you the most. Let us pray. Lord God, like many people, sometimes I'm staggered by your love. Because I know people come and share with me, and I have the wonderful opportunity to pray with them and invite you into our prayers together. That even though we're not perfect, even though we have shortcomings, that you forgive us and that you want to be with us. And so this day, once again, we want to give you everything we have. Would you help us to do that? And we want to love as you love. Would you help us to do that too? It is in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.